Now, give me your complete name, would you? Your maiden name and your all your names.
Of my family.
No, just yours.
I was Veda Lee House Miller.
I see. And is that Veda?
M A E.
H O U.
H O U X.
H O U. Oh, you're with the House family.
And yes. Then I married Richard Miller.
I see. Was he also from Cove?
Uh-huh. He was the farmer.
Uh-huh.
Out in Lower Cove.
Mm-hmm. And when were you born?
And I was born in 1914.
Mm-hmm. Where?
At Cove.
In Cove?
Uh-huh.
So you really know Cove?
I'm one of the old-timers.
You must be, yes.
But
and then you always lived in Cove, or did you live a few other places?
Well, in the few winters, we went over to College Place, but we always came back to Cove in the summer.
Mm-hmm. And why did you decide to go to College Place?
To go to school.
Oh, I see. At Walla Walla College.
Yeah.
Yes. And that was in summers, you said.
In the winters. And oh, we came home. We had a 10-acre ranch,
uh-huh.
or a little place,
mm-hmm.
a mile up from the schoolhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd come back for summertime.
I see. So did you do that every winter, or just for
a short period? Just for a
short,
about 5 years.
And we were both going to school there?
No,
you and your husband?
No, Richard went to LeGrand High School up here.
Uh-huh.
He went to grade school in Shanghai.
Oh, yes.
Out there at Cove.
I'll bet he knows John Van Schoonhoven.
I've known John all my life.
I've known him for a long time, too.
No, he's just folks.
Yes.
Folks and all.
So, what school did you go to? The Cove School?
I went to the Cove School, and I went over to College Place School. I graduated from Jim State Academy at Caldwell, Idaho.
Mm.
And
what
then
was
I
your,
came home.
What was your field of study there?
I was just in high school.
I see.
Got my 12th grade diploma from there.
Mm-hmm. And then at Walla Walla College, what were you studying?
Well, I was still in grade school. And
oh, this was before you were married?
Yes.
I see. Okay.
Before I was married.
Right. And then?
And then?
When you, after
my
you
father passed away in 1930. And my mother was five of us kids.
Mm-hmm.
I had two sisters and two brothers. And it was really hard times. It was very rough on my mother,
uh-huh.
to have us. My older sister went to Loma Linda and went into nursing,
mm-hmm.
took the nurse's training. And I went up here to, it was normal school,
mm-hmm.
then for, a year and a half. And then I got married,
mm-hmm.
and quit going to school.
I see. Let's go back to the 1930s, after your father had died. And of course, it was Depression times. Can you remember at all vividly any of the events or what it was like to live during that period?
Well, it seemed like it was really lonesome and very hard on my mother. We didn't have much income, and that's one reason my sister went off to school,
mm-hmm.
and when I went to Colorado, I worked for my room and board,
mm-hmm.
and the boys, they worked out what they could to the neighbors,
mm-hmm.
and made a little bit. They never paid very much. But the Lord was with my mother and us, and we all survived.
How did the family get food?
From the store.
Well, you didn't have much money.
Well, it seemed to do for us. We had a big garden and had a cow, and Mother worked like a man. And us kids, we picked berries and cherries and made all we could.
Did you ever need to get help from any other source?
No.
You just did the best you could by yourselves.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. What sort of a house did you have?
We had a four-room house. A big kitchen and dining room, and living room, and two bedrooms.
How was it heated?
Wood stoves.
Several wood stoves?
Two.
One in the living room and one in the kitchen?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And we didn't have running water in the house.
So you had an outhouse?
We had an outhouse.
Uh-huh. And a pump with a bucket that you brought the water in?
We carried water for several years up from Music's place right below us. From their spring, we packed it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then my daddy bought some land up above us, and it had a spring on it. And he brought the water down and piped it in onto the back porch, and we had a sink out there and could get water in the house.
That made it easier,
and,
didn't it?
Oh, we thought that was really something.
Yes.
And we finally got a telephone. We never had electricity till after I was married.
Did you use kerosene lamps?
Uh-huh. Studied by kerosene lamps.
Uh-huh. Now, would this have been about 1935 or so?
No. It was earlier than that. I was married in 1935.
I see. Did you say your father died in 1930?
Uh-huh.
So it was...
He died at Hot Lake Sanitarium. Dr. Fye, he had a brain tumor,
mm-hmm.
and Dr. Fye was operating. He died on the operating table.
Mm-hmm.
Then my sister, Laverne, had an appendectomy, and Dr. Fye operated on her in 1931 there at Hot Lake. So I was around Hot Lake quite a little when it was a going thing.
Uh-huh. What images do you have of that, of how it looked?
Oh, it was really spacious. It was really a nice place. And it was real depressing to see it run down and get the shape it's in. It
certainly is.
They tried a nursing home,
yes.
and that didn't work out. They tried a restaurant out there,
mm-hmm.
and that's too far out of town really to be a success.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just going pieces.
Worse and worse every day.
Worse and worse.
Yes, it is.
And it's too bad that someone couldn't have got it, and really, they could have made money off that.
What do you mean?
If they'd have rented, right.
What do you think it should have been?
Well, they had hot water. They could give treatments.
Mm-hmm.
And therapy, but young Dr. Fye, he didn't take care of things and lost it.
Oh, you think he let it run down?
I'm sure.
I thought maybe that had happened after the Fyes had left.
Now I think that he kind of let it go.
Did you say, well, you went to elementary school in College Place, did you?
The latter years, I went to Cove to about the seventh grade. Then we moved over to Milton Freewater first, and I went to the eighth grade. And then we moved to College Place, and my older sister graduated from over there.
Mm-hmm. Now let's focus for a minute on the years when you were going to the Cove School. Do you remember those years?
Oh yes.
Can you tell me anything about the teachers?
Well, they were all real sweet and saw that we studied, and if anyone misbehaved, they got after him.
They were strict?
They were strict, very strict, mm-hmm. And they saw that we had our work done.
Do you remember learning to read?
I was kind of fortunate. My older sister was just a grade ahead of me in school. I got to skip a grade because she'd come home from school and teach me what she learned. And I knew the second grade of that by heart. So I got to skip the second grade and then into the third grade. So it made it kind of bad for my sister, for her to be 3 years older, and I was just one grade behind her.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the way it turned out.
You enjoyed school then?
I liked school.
Was there any particular thing about school you really liked?
Oh, I enjoyed all of it. I liked history, English. I wasn't real good at geometry. That was the hardest thing for me.
You probably studied that over at Gem State, didn't you?
Uh-huh.
That's a high school subject.
And I took Spanish in the 12th grade over at Gem State.
So do you consider that you were pretty successful in school?
Well, I passed.
And you went to college for a while.
I went up here.
Yes.
Well, I went to Long Beach, California for a few months and lived with my mother's sister and aunt to kind of help mother out. And get out of, so she didn't have me to be responsible for it too. And I stayed there for a while and came back home.
So if you went to Eastern Oregon Normal School for about a year and a half, and you met the man you fell in love with and decided that was more important than going to school?
I guess. Well, I'll tell you, I didn't have any way to go back and forth from Cove to school.
Oh.
And we didn't have a car. And it was real difficult. I even started into Draper's Business College to ride with someone, and then they quit, so I didn't get to go anymore. And when you don't have transportation, you're just out of luck.
And so
I got married and married a real good boy, and mother thought the world of him, and he thought the world of my mother and helped her out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And she had 10 acres of land, and he would help. He took care of that.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember when he asked you to marry him?
Yes.
Tell me about it. Do you want to tell me?
We didn't tell anybody we were going to get married, but his uncle and aunt, Uncle John Miller and Aunt Marjorie, and we went to Walla Walla and got married.
You eloped?
We eloped. And we decided we wouldn't tell anyone we were married. But the second day, I went down to the neighbors and called him up and told him to come and get me. I thought we ought to be living together. So he came and got me, but my mother had an idea of what was going on.
Well, why did you elope?
I don't know.
Was it his idea?
His idea.
Was his idea?
That we'd do that.
Would you have preferred to have a formal wedding in a church?
No, because I couldn't afford it.
Oh, I see.
I couldn't have afforded to have a nice wedding dress.
Mm-hmm. And you were about...
I tried to do things. I was 21.
21.
And Richard was 21.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived with his folks. I lived with his folks for 13 years. They had a ranch out on the Lower Cove, that road going out from the Cove.
Mm-hmm.
And I got along good with my mother-in-law. I can't remember that we ever had a dispute or words or anything. I could have, but I figured I was in her home and someday we'd have ours, and we finally got a chance to buy a place out in Lower Cove. We moved.
Were you saving money during that time so that you could buy a place?
Trying to.
Yeah. Were you earning money in any way?
I just stayed there and did housework and cooked and all. And Richard did the farm work for his dad and all. And we borrowed money to buy a place.
Mm-hmm.
My sister, older sister, gotten out of nurse's training, and she had married a doctor, and they sent us the money to buy us a car, and gave us the car, and that was in 1948. We got the first car that came in here to LaGrange, a black Chrysler.
Now, why didn't your husband go into the military during the Second World War?
Because of farming.
He was exempt?
He was exempt. Oh,
I see. And what were the main crops that he was growing?
Well, it was diversified. We had peas, we had alfalfa times. Mainly wheat, oats. We tried a year or two with peas. We had some cattle. And we had some hogs, tried raising them. And then we had 100 head of sheep of ewes.
Hmm.
Richard got sick in 1961. He had an ulcer operation, and he got staph infection, and he almost died. We went to Texas. My brother-in-law had built a hospital right out of El Paso, and we went down there and was there 6 months. And El Paso, they didn't have any no medicine to treat staph infection at that time. And Richard was, we were there 6 months.
But he recovered?
Not fully.
It sounds as though he was a very hard worker.
Richard was.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that gave him the ulcer.
Could have been.
And did you have children?
No, we didn't have any children. It seemed like we had nieces and nephews there at Hove, and then all of a sudden they all moved to Texas. And my brother, one of them, was signed up in the National Guard and had just, well, mother had to go and consent because he went and signed up and he wasn't old enough. And it wasn't long till the war broke out, and he was in World War II.
Did he survive?
Uh-huh. But he's passed away now. I'm the only one of us kids that's living.
What? No. You're fortunate.
I know it.
Yes. When, after your husband had died, you continued to live in Cove.
No.
Did you?
In 1976, Richard got so he couldn't run the farm at all.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved into town. We lived over here at the Country West Apartments. And we moved there in 1976. And Richard died in 1979, February. And I was sick in the hospital up here when he passed away. And they had to send me to Walla Walla to go through the CAT scan. And I never saw Richard or got to go to the funeral or anything. And I was in the hospital over to Walla Walla to over 2 months. I had an aneurysm. And I had other difficulties. I'm lucky to be alive.
That was a close call.
Yes.
Yes. I'd like to go back to the name Houkes. There were a number of Houkeses living in Cove, weren't there?
Well, not too many.
No? I've been up to the cemetery, and I've seen some of the gravestones marked Houkes.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the name I know best is Kate Houkes, who was principal of the Ackerman School.
Yeah. Kate, who's my first cousin.
I see. How well did you know her?
Real well.
Tell me about her. I mean, what sort of person was she?
Well, she was too smart for one thing.
Too smart.
And I think that's one reason why I didn't really continue to go on to school. She was teaching up there, and I think they thought I was a Houkes, I should be as smart as Kate.
Oh, I see.
I was. But Kate was full of fun, and she was smart.
What were some of the ways she showed other people that she was smart?
Well, I think she was one of the main ones to start Ackerman School.
Yes, she was.
And I can't understand, of all the buildings they have built and named after teachers, that they haven't named a building after after Kate. And she started the march down the steps, you know, that
Evensong.
Evensong.
Did she really start that?
That's what I understand she did. But she was strict. She had a very good education.
You didn't ever take a class with her or see her in the classroom, did you?
No, I never did have a subject under her. Mm-hmm.
And she was older than you?
Oh, yes.
Quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Did she seem like an older woman to you at the time? Or at least middle age when you were younger?
Yeah, middle age.
Yes. What did she look like?
She was tall and slim and
did she smile a lot?
Yes.
Even though she was strict?
I don't know that she smiled a whole lot.
You said she
but
was a lot of fun.
She was very friendly and full of fun. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Do you know whether she wrote very many things? Did she write about her life?
You know, that I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any photographs of her? You do?
I'm sure I do.
Do you think you have them here?
I'd have them.
I'd like to see them. Do you have any other photographs that of the area in earlier years? The 30s, 40s, 50s?
I gave some of those things away to Harold Blank.
Oh, you did? They're lost for good, then.
Harold is a cousin of mine. But Harold gets a little mixed up on some of his tales he tells.
Mm-hmm. I've interviewed him.
And I'm going to pump you. He kind of stays away from me.
But you think you gave most of your photographs to him?
I gave some to him. Mm-hmm. I think if I get out some of my pictures, I might. You'll be around here for a while.
Oh, yes. I live in La Grande.
Yeah.
Yes. I really appreciate seeing them, especially if they have labels on them, so you could tell what the date was when they were taken. Do you think many of them do?
I don't know if they do or not. Mm-hmm. I think I have a picture of Kate and her two sisters together, the three of them.
Did you keep track of her during the latter part of her life?
No, not really.
Harold said she went to Santa Barbara, California, but she's buried in Cove.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my grandpa house, my daddy, bought a lot up there at Cove in the cemetery where, and I forget how many graves. I think about 14 people could be buried on them. And I know Kate's father and mother are buried up there. And her sister, Leona Taylor. Mm-hmm.
Do you think you're the last surviving house?
No. There's my brother had a son. And he has two boys that are Houses. And I have another nephew. No, now he would be a House. No, the House seems about to run out.
Harold said it was originally Lehu. L E H-O-U-X, and in French it would be who, pronounced who. Is that correct?
I hadn't heard that.
You hadn't? I think you said that the family came from Wisconsin.
They did. He hasn't lived in Colvin, at least.
No. No. But he said the houses, along
they
with...
They came from Texas.
The houses did?
Grandpa Houks did.
Well, there's a little mix-up there, I guess.
No, they came from Texas, and I know we had a chest of clothes that he sent from Texas to Colvin. It's written on the back of it. You know, where it was sent from.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never get it because my brother's wife won't give it up.
As you think over your life, the various kinds of experiences you've had.
I like to go with him. Every summer, we try right before harvest. We'd pack up and go back on the big mine for a week.
Oh, yes.
Before time to start harvest.
Uh-huh. Live in a tent?
If it rained, he'd get the tent up.
Uh-huh.
But,
otherwise, would you just lie on the ground under the stars at night?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And during those times, did you feel especially alive or cheerful? Or?
Oh, yes. We cooked over the bonfire. Once in a while, a couple would go with us.
Uh-huh.
We just had a good time.
Uh-huh. It was quite different, I suppose, from the rest of your days during the year.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And so is it...
It was hard work on the ranch.
I'm sure it was. Every day, hard work.
Mm-hmm. Got up early and went to bed early.
Mm-hmm.
People ask me if I don't read in bed. You know, I never did read in bed when I went to bed. I was tired and I went to sleep.
Yes.
And so I never read in bed, or I never took naps in the daytime.
Do you remember any periods when you were discouraged?
Well, I get kind of discouraged now. I don't have any family around me at all now.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also good to me. They call 2 or 3 times a week. And when I was sick a while back, why, my niece came up from Texas and stayed with me 4 or 5 days. And they call me real often,
mm-hmm.
and I shouldn't get depressed, but you get to thinking about being a woman,
yeah.
And I don't want to leave here. The kids said, why don't you come down to Texas, Aunt Zita? Well, you know, I would know a soul down there, and they wouldn't have time to. I wouldn't want to live with any of them. And I wouldn't like it at all.
You'd be more lonely than you are here.
Yeah, and I really don't get real lonely here because I know so many people.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have lots of friends. And they call me. And I shouldn't worry. I shouldn't worry unless I run out of money.
Uh-huh.
I live too long.
That's a worry we all have. Yes. So it sounds as though maybe you have the best possible life here. It's comfortable.
It's the only thing I should have done was to come here. and not wait till so many of my friends that were my good friends out in the valley, they have become ill.
Mm-hmm.
One of them has Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
Before she came in here.
Mm-hmm.
Now her house is sitting out there with everything in it that she left, but people have gone in and taken things.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't worry her, it doesn't bother her one bit. Now I have my other good friend is moving in here today because she broke her hip. And it's the second time she's broken her hip.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to have to sell her place and all. And I feel like I was smart to do it while I had my good senses and knew what I was doing.
And you still have your good senses too, I can tell.
Yes, I hope I do.
Yes, you do.
And have things planned, and I have my funeral arrangements all made.
Good.
Well, my niece, my closest family, is all in Texas, and I just figured I should have everything ready.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes them a while to get up here. And I even took my clothes up to Daniel's.
It sounds as though you have learned how to be independent.
I'm very independent.
Yes.
And I gave my car to this niece that came up from Texas last year. I told her when I found out she intended to fly up and see me, I told Diane, I said, Diane, when you come up, just buy a one-way ticket, because I'm going to give you my car. And oh, she didn't think that I should. I said, Diane, I have glaucoma in my eyes, and I know I knew they were failing. And I was just a little bit uneasy driving. And I thought, before I have an accident and they tell me I have to quit driving,
yes,
I'm going to quit. So, of course, it thrilled her. And I really haven't missed my car. But it's real hard for me to ask somebody that I need to go to town. When you go, would you take me?
Mm-hmm.
It's real hard for me. And they all say, let me know now if you need, but I've never had to do it. And it is difficult.
Are you afraid of imposing on somebody?
I guess that would be it. If I know they're going to town, and then I don't feel badly. But to just ask somebody, now I'm about to get to town, would you take me? It's just hard to do.
Yeah. What are some of the reasons you think you need to get to town?
Well, there for a while I was getting my own breakfast. I didn't want to get up as early as somebody do to come down here for breakfast at 7:30. And I decided that it'd do me good to get up now, and since I don't have a car to go get my milk or what I need for breakfast, I am getting up and going down for breakfast. And I actually feel better by getting up earlier.
Uh-huh.
Because I stay in bed till later, 9 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
And when you do that, your mind starts to thinking too much. Now I get up and I don't
How do you spend most of your time during the day?
Well, I visit quite a few of them around here.
Go to their rooms, you mean?
Come down and sit and visit people sick. I watch the news on TV. I don't watch any soap operas. But it seems like there's always something I need to clean out a drawer or go through something and that I keep busy.
You're never bored?
No, I don't think. I feel like I am. I get up and get out.
Good. Are you able to do any kind of exercise?
I went to the exercise class. That I had a carpal tunnel operation about 3 weeks ago on this hand. And I just took the bandage off of it. And I have to have it done on this hand. And I couldn't, my hands and fingers were in real bad shape at Christmas time. I couldn't write not one Christmas card this year. And now I'm writing a few little notes, letting them know I am not dead.
Are you right-handed? So did that, you haven't had the surgery on that one yet, but did it improve by itself a little bit?
I thought it did till last night. Now it, that hand just ached like everything. But Dr. Bidman's surgery. Dr. Warren did surgery.
And I notice you have oxygen.
Yes, I started. I had to start using this last June. Now, I don't know for how long I will. He's never told me I had emphysema.
But you were having trouble breathing?
I didn't have enough oxygen in my blood.
Yeah, that can be serious.
I know I didn't feel good, and my legs swelled up quite a bit. And the people here saw it, and they called a doctor, and they said for me to get my doctor immediately.
And I guess it's helped.
Anyway, I drove myself up to his office. They all said they were too busy to take me. And I said, well, I'll tell you, I don't feel very good, but I guess I can make it. And I've kind of resented that because they didn't take me. Anyway, I made it up there and went into the doctor. He looked down at me and looked at him. He says, you're going to the hospital. And I said, oh, I can't. I drove my car up here. Didn't bring a thing with me. Can't I wait and I'll go in the morning? He said, nope, won't admit you in the morning. You're going now. So by that time, his nurse had come and had oxygen and put up on me and took me out to her car. Took me right up to ICU and put me to bed, and they drained about 16 pounds of fluid out of my legs, around my heart, some in my lungs, and I've used oxygen ever since.
Ever since. And does it keep you stable? Is it annoying to have that little cart to head? Pull around all
it
the time?
It is, and when you have to have a cane.
Yes.
I need three hands.
I know. You could get a backpack.
That's right.
That would fit into a backpack very nicely. Wouldn't that be easier?
It's real hard to go shopping.
Yes. I see many people who do, though. Almost every day I see somebody with one of those.
Oh, there's lots of people.
Yeah.
Have to use them. But I don't cough or, you know, he's never told me that I had anything. Well, he told me I had a congestive heart. I needed to use it. So I use it night and day.
Is it all right when you sleep? It doesn't get in your way?
Good.
But with the remaining years of your life, what would be the best thing that could happen to you?
Get rid of this.
Get rid of that and stay well, too, I suppose you mean.
Well.
Yes, yes. Okay, well, suppose that could happen. Then what would be the best thing?
Well, I'd like to go see all my family around, and I'd like to go back to Meridian, Mississippi. That's where my sister's buried. I'd do some traveling.
If you could do that, would you come back satisfied, do you think?
It helps. Okay. I know when I go to Texas and go out to the cemetery where my two brothers are, it helps. I got to go to their funeral. They're married in Fort Bliss Military.
Mm-hmm. How does it help?
Well, it just seemed like I saw them and did a good deed. Mm-hmm.
Of course, you have them in your memory,
mm-hmm.
and you. In that sense, you have them with you all the time, don't you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, I feel like when I lost Richard, my husband, not getting to see him or to go to a funeral.
I understand that.
It has never seemed real.
Yeah, yes.
It's a different feeling.
Something unfinished there.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know how to finish it.
Well, it may be like a number of other things in life that never get finished. Life consists of a lot of loose ends, I've found. I'd say you've gotten along very well. Is there any other memory you'd like to share?
Oh, I've got lots of memories of going camping and deer hunting and fishing. I rode horseback a lot. I'm Richard and I first got married. We didn't have a car. His folks did, but they didn't want me to drive their car. And Richard was a horse lover. He had some real good stock horses. And I learned to, he helped me and I learned to ride a horse real well. And I would ride died from there where I lived up to see my mother real often. And that was about 1 week, 5 miles round trip. But I enjoyed outdoors.
Uh-huh.
I helped. I drove a wheat truck. We harvested lots of times. I tried a little bit of everything.
It sounds as though your mother gave you a good example. You said she did men's work, and so she showed you how to do it. And apparently you enjoyed doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Good. It's honorable work, necessary work.
And I think I tried every craft that came along. I made candles, I did ceramics, I did embroidery work, knitted.
Quilts?
I didn't quilt. My mother-in-law told me if my stitches were too big, that the person would catch their toenails. I have stitches. So she didn't let me quilt on her quilt.
I would think if you had done embroidery, you could have made small stitches.
Well, she made all the small stitches.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fine. I could do something else.
Yes. Were you proud, though, of your craft work?
Oh, yes.
And you displayed it, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Is it all gone now?
Oh, I've given away almost everything mm-hmm. I made, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When you move, you... And even when I moved from over there, I had to give away a lot to get in here.
Yes. Yep.
So I know my niece, one of my nieces there in El Paso, said when I was going to go down there, she says, Aunt Nita, when you come to see me and come to my kitchen, you'll be right at home because you'll think you're in your kitchen. I've got so many of your things. And it was true, and it has done me really good, and I think it's real good to, if you're going to give somebody something, and give it to them and let them enjoy it if you aren't using it, and know that they really like it.
Oh, yes.
And you get double pleasure.
Sure. That's great.
And so I have done that. Mm-hmm.
And how many years have you lived here?
Let's see, I moved here in 96, October of 96.
So about 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it was the right thing to do.
Yeah, I wasn't eating right. It's real easy to get in the habit to not cook like you should.
Yes.
When you're all alone.
Yes.
And then I was getting older, and it bothered me to vacuum and everything. And I did a lot of figuring, and it seemed like that time when I moved over here, the rent's gone up $100 every year. That I can swing it. But if they keep going up, I'll figure something out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, there are various forms of assistance for people whose money runs out.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
I know my lawyer told me since when I get ever come to that and have to, don't be ashamed. You and your husband paid enough taxes all your life that you've got it coming.
Yeah.
So, and they do help you on the other side. Medicaid or... I guess I wouldn't be too proud to take it because you have to live.
That's right. And you don't want to be out on the street.
No.
No. I think that will serve the purpose for our interview here. Thank you very much.
I didn't tell you very much, but...
Oh, well.
I've had a real good, happy life.
You told me that. I understand that.
My family's been good to me. I've got to go back to New York with them. My brother-in-law went back to Atlantic City to a doctor's AMA thing, and they called and wanted to know if I would like to go with them. They paid all the expenses because I keep their two kitties in the summertime.
Yeah.
And let them come out to the farm. And they said that will be your pay for keeping our kids. So my husband says, you can't turn down a chance like that because you'll never get that chance.
Mm.
So I went to Texas. We took in Washington, D.C., New York, Atlantic City. Had a wonderful time.
Yeah. And you were still well enough to enjoy at that time.
That was back in the 50s. No, I never. Now, Richard was a homeboy. He liked Grand Mound Valley. And it was hard to get him away.
So he said, you go instead.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, good.